I'm Ashley.
And I'm Brooke.
And you're here with us on a Teachers Who Talk Crime
podcast.
Guys, we finished recording our teacher chats probably like an hour ago.
Yes. And we can't tell you what we've been doing because we would lose probably listeners because we have a very dark sense of humor.
Sure do.
But we have been cracking ourselves up.
We really have.
And yeah, so we're just now recording.
It's been a good time. You know, and the way we see it is that, you know, you can't cry if you're laughing.
That's very true.
You know?
That's very true.
That's just what it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But we were playing this game, right? And we were sending it to friends that we would that would understand, like, our dark humor. And I was scrolling and scrolling and scrolling.
And our friends did not disappoint.
And the only friend that I had that would even, like, maybe play along is Mary.
And she sure did.
Yeah, and then I sent it to my fiance, he my husband.
That's your husband now.
I know, I sent it to my husband. I think we're getting a divorce because he didn't find me very funny.
Are you sure he's awake?
I'm not really sure.
He might be sleeping.
He's outside banging on things.
In the dark?
Yeah, he's working on stuff. I can hear him, tink, 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 tink.
Oh, so he didn't even see his phone.
He's going to think I'm losing my mind.
We are a little crazy. It's fine.
Yeah, you have to be in this world.
Yeah, so yeah, we've just still been, you know, on submarine talk and just, yes. You know, yeah, it's just, man.
And, you know, I'll say this about, like, you know, what me and Ashley were talking about. We were talking about submarine talk, but all I'll say is this. The memes that people come up with and are so quick-witted.
Oh, my gosh.
We don't know how y'all do it. We just don't. We, like, just really don't.
Like, submarine talk is undefeated right now. Like, I will say it till I'm blue in the face. The memes that I have seen about this submarine. Is it wrong to say top tier?
Because, like, how do y'all come up with some of this
so
stuff?
So quickly.
Yeah.
So quickly.
Like, they were photoshopping the submarine next to Ariel.
And Finding Nemo.
Shark Tales.
That was a good movie,
SpongeBob with the Glove World episode.
You know that episode. That was a good episode of SpongeBob.
Yeah. It's very, y'all are very talented human beings. Let me tell you.
Y'all really are. I mean, somebody need to hire y'all to do something because y'all is just creative.
Yeah. But we've actually done all of our chatting, so you guys get, like, a very short intro.
We've been chatting and laughing, like, literally, like,
and crying because we were laughing.
Yeah, 100%. There were definitely tears springing
out of my
eyes.
Literal tears.
But, like, not, like, crying, you know, like, just tears of just, you know, funny tears. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So.
Yeah.
We're just going to go into it. And when we start our star student, it is a long one. So, Ashley, you want to take it away?
All right. We're about to get into our estudiante estrella.
So, our star student today is Miss Caitlin Keller.
Miss Caitlin Keller?
Keller, yep.
Keller. Okay.
And the title says, The Internet Besties.
Okay.
5 stars, of course.
Period. Boom, 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 boom.
And Miss Caitlin Keller says the following. Firstly, let's talk cases. Okay. This podcast covers many cases that I've not heard about on other true crime podcasts. I also love how I get a new perspective on the cases that I have heard as the host approach these cases in a different way. Ashley and Brooke look at cases from the perspective of teachers. I also appreciate that they try to focus on the victims in their coverage of each case. Next, I'd like to discuss TTC's show format. I love how the podcast has evolved over time into what it is now. I think the hosts have really found their groove. I love the cute teacher-themed segments and references throughout each podcast. I love how they begin each podcast catching one another on life, things, and teacher things. I really feel like I am a part of the conversation, being a teacher myself. The host even move into their Estudiante Estrella and praise a subscriber for their review of the show. Before starting their topic of conversation, the host makes sure to let listeners know what trigger warnings will be covered during today's case. They make sure to drop episodes consistently, which is huge and such a challenge in the podcasting world. Mm-hmm. Ashley and Brooke handled their podcast with a utmost care and consideration, and it shows. Lastly, the host. Ashley and Brooke have a vulnerability to them that I deeply admire. I love how they are so open with one another and their audience. I was lucky enough to find TTC when they were on their sixth episode drop. I needed a teacher-oriented show, and the fact that it was a true crime focus was a huge bonus. I've been here through many changes and additions in the show's infancy. I have loved attending the recent editions of their Instagram Lives with Ashley and Brooke are together recording lessons. I feel like I've had the pleasure to get to know these two beautiful souls through the podcast, their social media accounts, and the Instagram Lives. They have truly become my internet besties. I'm so proud of them for somehow finding time to make their podcast a success while teaching, being a fiance, being a girlfriend, and being a mom of twins. You are such an inspiration, and I'm proud of you on your first official year of TTC. Congratulations to my internet besties.
Miss Caitlin Keller.
That was the sweetest review ever.
That was just like, she just took us on. You know, she's been here, sounds like, from Jump Street.
I know. When I really liked that one.
When we sounded like we was under the sea.
Under the sea.
Yeah. Wow, it was too soon. The minute I thought it, I was like, the submarine. Please don't cancel me for that. I'm sorry. But nah, we've been through a lot. Like,
yeah,
we were literally, I remember.
In the closet.
In the closet. I remember my computer being on a chair. I was cramped in there. Mm-hmm. And then I moved over to the table. And now I'm on the bed. It's really just, it's been a wonderful ride so far.
Yeah.
It's been a wonderful.
We were just like randomly releasing episodes, and then we put in teacher stories, and now we have teacher chats, and then we started happy hours, and you know, it's so fun.
Yeah, we just, what's next for us?
I don't even know.
You guys have any ideas?
I mean, I haven't even brought it up, but like, I know every podcast is like, the next step is a Patreon, but then those always make me feel a little weird.
And then we also didn't figure out like what Patreon content we would. I feel like we were stuck on what we were going to release. We were.
Yeah. I don't know. If y'all have suggestions, like if you are even a part of a Patreon, like let us know, because I don't even know how those work. I've never subscribed to a Patreon because I'm cheap. And I realize that about myself.
Yeah.
So, like, if you have, can you, like, do you mind divulging what you've subscribed to and, like, why you chose to subscribe to them? Because that, I think that would give me a little bit more clarity on, like, the idea of a Patreon.
Mm-hmm. And also, if you have suggestions of what, you know, we here at Teachers Talk Crime should cover if we were to get a Patreon, let us know, because we're stumped.
We really are. Mm-hmm. Because like we don't want to move any of our content that we currently do. Like we don't want to move teacher stories over to Patreon.
Yeah.
Like we don't want to move teacher chats because those are quick. You know, so like what would we cover over there that's different than what we do here? Mm-hmm. Because the big thing in most of our reviews, and I appreciate that Miss Caitlin Keller said this, is like even in our DMs, you guys are constantly saying that we cover cases y'all've never heard of. And mm-hmm. I think that does help us stand out.
Yeah.
And we enjoy that because these are cases I've also never heard of that mm-hmm. I get to research and that are interesting to me.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, we've covered some big ones, like a couple, but like mm-hmm. majority of our cases are ones that, you know, not a whole lot of podcasts have covered. So like Brooke said, that does make us stand out. And we are, you know, teachers. I know there are other teachers with podcasts, but I don't think there are many. I think we may be the only teachers with a podcast that talks about true crime.
Coffee and Cases. They are teachers and they do true crime. However, their focus is not teacher-centered. So they enter into the podcast being themselves. Like, we're like, you know, we're Brooke and Ashley who identify as teachers.
Yeah.
They are kind of like, the like, they come in as just their normal selves. They don't mm-hmm. come in from like a teacher's perspective, which their podcast is amazing. If you haven't listened to Coffee and Cases, you definitely should. I know one of the hosts, I've met her through social media, and that's the beauty of this like whole world, is 100%. That you get to connect with people. And she's so sweet. So if you haven't, that is another teacher podcast. But like I said, go into it more expecting just like a host format. Mm-hmm. They're still amazing though. Yeah. But yeah, I think that maybe we are one of the only ones, if not the few, that come with a teacher perspective.
Yeah, because they don't just focus on crime. They focus on any crime.
They do. They focus on all the crimes.
Yeah. So I know mm-hmm. there's not a lot of podcasts that focus on just kids. Mm-hmm. I know. I think there's one podcast called Killer Kids.
Murderous Minors.
Yup. I did see that one, yes. too. But there's not like I would say there's probably under five of them. So like mm-hmm. we're in the top five because there's only like yeah. a handful of us. So, you know, just let us know what we would cover on our Patreon, because we're really, like we said, we want to take Teachers Talk Crime to the next level. I think we're ready for that. We want to be Mr. Worldwide, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. looking at our analytics the other day, the places that people are listening to our podcast is wild.
Yeah. And I mean, thank you guys for over 130,000 downloads.
That's
I saw that
bizarre.
Number the other day and I was like, that's so crazy. Like, I remember when Ashley and I got our first 1,000 and we were like, oh my God.
We were like, oh my God, we're going to get sponsored. And someone was like, yeah, you need like hundreds of thousands. And yeah. we were like, okay.
Right. Cool.
And now we're there. So when are we going to be able to read our own commercials for HelloFresh and stuff? Asking for a friend.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
That would be superb. Mm-hmm. Ooh, especially yeah. we get Factor meals, because I love me a good Factor meal.
This is not an ad, but Factor meals are bomb.com.
They are.
We have no fire. Code for you, but Factor meals are bomb.com.
They really are. I mean, if I could afford it regularly, I would 100% be buying them. But yep. I live off a teacher salary.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
Mm-hmm. But Miss Caitlin Keller, mm-hmm. I never gave you a shout out. So thank you so much for your review. This gold star's for you. Bing.
Yeah. So we are just going to jump right into it because, like I said, we've been chatting for a very long time. And mm-hmm. that's fine. I do not mind my chats with Ashley. But here we go. Sit down. Shut up. The murder is about to begin.
Ahora. You know what's crazy? For this episode, I completely forgot to put in my trigger warnings, but since Miss Caitlin Keller reminded me, I'm gonna say them because she likes that about us.
Oh, yeah.
So our trigger warnings for this episode today is just a really gruesome murder. And that's about it. I'm going to give you guys the trigger warnings once I get into the details of said murder. So if you guys want to fast forward. But that's pretty much the trigger warnings for this one here.
And, you know, I don't have much better news on the next one that I bring you guys because it's also very gruesome.
You were talking about it. You were.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So in September of 2012, the calm city of Sheboygan Falls, Wisconsin, was shaken by an unthinkable crime that shocked the community. Antonio Barbo and Nathan Papp, both teens at the time, committed a brutal murder that forever changed the lives of those involved. We'll begin today's lesson on September 17th, 2012. 13-year-old Nathan Papp and Antonio Barbo were being driven to Antonio's 78-year-old great-grandmother, Barbara Olson's house, by Nathan's mother, Bobby Papp. So she didn't know she was taking them to his grandmother's house. She thought she was taking them to his friend's house. Okay.
Okay.
So little did Bobby know, the boys had very malicious and violent things that they had planned to do at Barbara's house. But again, she didn't know that she was taking them to Antonio's great-grandmother's house. The boys waved goodbye to Nathan's mom with book bags on their backs containing a hammer and a hatchet. Their plan was to kill Barbara, rob her, and pawn her jewelry. Why? Because according to court documents, Barbara was somewhat rich and could be killed for money.
But it's your great-grandmother.
I know, that's right.
Like,
I don't
who kills their great-grandmother?
Right? Like, who kills
A grandmother.
Yeah, and we just talked about this.
We did.
In our last case. And granted, it wasn't their grandmother, but it was somebody's.
And, you know, they probably offered her lemonade and I just grandmother things.
Yeah, just doing all the things. Baby, you want, you know, those mints that they have in their pockets?
Yeah,
those be the best mints, though. They sure do.
I don't like this. Why? Why would you pick her?
You just wait for it, girl. Before I go on, I did want to pay some respect to Barbara and give you some background information on her because she deserves it and you all deserve to hear about her.
Absolutely.
The information I gathered is mainly from her obituary that I found online. Barbara Jean Olson was born on July 2nd, 1934 in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. She graduated from Bloomer High School in 1952 and worked in the office at the Chippewa County Co-op Dairy for 6 months. Her father also worked there as the manager of the powdered milk division. And I didn't...
Aw, that's cute.
I didn't even know you could be a manager of the powdered milk division, but here we are.
I didn't... Yeah, do they have a manager for the liquid milk
division? I'm assuming they did. You know, it makes sense. If you have it for the powdered, you got to have it for the liquid.
That does make sense.
Yeah. She went to the Gale Institute in Minneapolis, Minnesota from December 1952 to March 1953. And after she graduated, she worked at the Santa Fe RR office in Chicago. She jumped around to a couple different jobs until she married Wesley Olson on February 27, 1954. A direct quote from her obituary states the following. Barb worked for over 20 years at Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Wisconsin, part-time from 1968 to 1970 as a claim approver, and then full-time as a customer service representative from 1974 until her retirement in 1966.
She's a hard-working gal.
I know. We love a hard worker.
Yeah.
After her retirement, Barbara spent her time volunteering as a driver to take elderly people to their appointments.
Oh my gosh, Barb.
She's sweet. I love her.
Because you know, old people can't just retire.
No. I mean,
like, they don't know how to just retire.
I mean, I call my dad old. He's not that old. He's not that old, but he's retired and that man just cannot sit still.
He cannot.
Still working as a security guard on an island. So, you know, here we are. Barbara was a member of the Grace Communion International Church and there she sang for their choir. Stop, she's so wholesome.
Barb, you just have a direct line to Jesus.
She does. I love that. And I'm going to go into that a little bit more. Barbara loved her family. Her daughter, Judy, stated the following. Next to God, family was everything to her. Ugh. She loved spending time with her grand and great-grandchildren. Some of Barbara's hobbies were listening to music, playing piano, scrapbooking, gardening, reading, sewing, knitting, quilting, traveling, and watching the Green Bay Packers.
Oh my gosh.
You know what's crazy? Like, when people ask me my hobbies, I definitely don't have a list this long.
I don't either. I have to think about it.
I do. I don't even know what I like to do anymore.
I do.
I like to
scroll on my phone, sleep.
I like to be on Submarine Talk on TikTok.
I never know what to say either. I hate when people are like, what do you do for fun? I'm like,
sleep?
I watch Manifest.
100%. I'm watching that right now.
So good.
It's so good. And this is it, right?
Yeah.
Dang. I hope I got more than 2 episodes left because I'll cry.
I know.
She was described by her family as being peaceful and positive. So
we get that vibe.
So Barb is just great.
An all-around great person.
She's just amazing and we all love her.
She's everyone's grandmother.
She is.
Yeah.
She's our podcast grandma.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Now, like I said just before, Barbara is Antonio's great-grandmother. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't know my great-grandparents. Brooke, do you?
Yes. So I only knew one of them. I knew my Jessie Pearl.
Stop. Jessie Pearl.
She was mean.
Oh, Jessie Pearl.
But like, you know, like in the old Southern, I'm stuck in my ways. You know, like she had these porcelain dolls. So what I remember about her is she had these porcelain dolls. And my dad's family originally was kind of like mean to my mom, like when my mom and dad first met, like they just were like, you know, whatever.
Uh-huh.
And so when I was born, I would go over there and I would want to play with Jessie Pearl's porcelain dolls.
Ooh.
And my mom would come in and she would like be like, you cannot play with these. Like, she did not want to give Jessie Pearl any ammunition, right?
Oh, definitely not.
And Jessie Pearl was like, you let that baby play with those porcelain dolls. If she wants to play with them, she can play with them.
Oh.
And I played with the porcelain dolls.
Did you break them?
I did not break the porcelain dolls. But I do remember my Jessie Pearl. I told her on her, and this is kind of morbid, but bear with me. I told her on her deathbed, if I had a little girl, I would name her Jessie Pearl.
Stop.
Yeah.
Stop, Jessie Pearl Ham.
Jessie Pearl Ham.
Oh my gosh, it's so beautiful.
Do you really like it, James?
No,
like,
I really like it. Because I do too. I'm 100% calling her Jessie Pearl.
You can't call her any Jessie Pearl.
Like, her name's not going to be Jessie. It's Jessie Pearl.
Yeah.
And then when Auntie Ashley scolds her, Jessie Pearl Ham?
Yes, just like that.
Mm-hmm.
So I do remember my great-grandmother. She was a good woman. She raised some hellion kids. Like, you know, I listened to some stories and that woman did a lot.
Shout out to Jessie Pearl.
Yep.
Shout out to her. So Antonio, on the other hand, he knew his great-grandmother very well because mm-hmm. Antonio's mother, Nikki Olson, was a single mom who had the help of her grandmother, Barbara, to raise Antonio. A direct quote from Nikki states the following. She helped me so much when Antonio was younger. Grandma Barb was the only reason I was able to go back to school and get my bachelor's degree. She would take care of Antonio for me.
I'm sorry. She took care of this boy and sure this did. Is how he wants to repay her?
Sure did.
I have some questions.
Uh-huh. According to Barbara's daughter, Judy Offit, Antonio enjoyed being with Barbara just like he enjoyed being with the rest of his family. So like all of this, I'm just like, initially I was just like, wait, so you had a good relationship with your great grandmother and then you just mm-hmm. suddenly out of the blue decided to rob her for money.
Yeah.
And murder her.
But she like took care of you. It's not like she's a foreign person in your life.
Yeah, like a distant relative. This is yeah. someone like who you know, right?
Like you stayed with on a regular basis.
Yep. And then when I get into this next paragraph, you're going to be like, come on, man. So as they entered the garage of Barbara's home, they previously planned to sneak up on Barbara by using the door inside of her garage that connects to the garage that goes into the home, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have one of those.
Mm-hmm. So, however, their noises entering the garage caused Barbara to go to the garage door and see the boys. So upon seeing her great-grandson, she cheerfully invited the boys in and even told Antonio that she would notify his mom that he was there.
Oh, my gosh. Again, going back to the thing. Hey, baby, you want some lemonade?
You know?
What's this visit for?
Mm-hmm. I haven't literally seen you in such a long time.
Tell me who your friend is.
Mm-hmm.
This Why? Makes me sick. Yeah. Like,
it's just, I just don't understand. And mind you, they're 13.
No.
Okay.
I don't want to imagine. Like, no.
Like, that is young.
Mm.
While she turned to go back into the kitchen ahead of the boys, they took action. So here's where I'm going to give you the trigger warning because I'm going to go into details of what they did. So feel free to skip forward a few if you don't want to hear. According to court documents, Antonio used the blunt end of the hatchet to hit Barbara, which knocked her onto the floor.
He's the one that initiated it.
He sure was.
Oh my gosh.
He continued to hit her a few more times while she attempted to cover her head and begged him to stop. Then Nathan hit her in the head twice with the hammer. Finally, Antonio, using the sharp end of the hatchet, hit Barbara in the head with such force that it got lodged there.
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm. The medical examiner would later determine that Barbara was struck a total of 27 times.
Why?
And 18 of those were directly to her head.
That's anger. Mm-hmm. And if originally your sentence was they had just planned to rob her. So why can't we just, okay, I'm not condoning this whatsoever. Mm-hmm. But you went in there and did more than you had said you were. So some form of anger took over.
Well, no, they said they were going to kill her. They said they were going to kill her, rob her.
Oh,
yeah. And
wow.
Remember, they came with a hatchet and a hammer. Like,
yeah,
you know
I just thought they were going to rob her. Okay.
Oh, no, they planned this. Once they determined that Barbara was dead, Antonio and Nathan went and searched the house. They took her purse, which contained $150 to $155, depending on which source you read, and jewelry. After taking all that they felt was valuable from the home, the two tried to figure out a plan to cover up the murder. According to court documents, they actually talked for hours about how they were going to do it. They decided that they didn't want to leave her body in the home, so they were going to put her in the trunk of her car. They dragged her body into the garage and attempted to put her in the trunk. However, like I stated, they were 13 years old and lacked the strength to do so.
Absolutely. And I want to pause for a second because, you know, you think about old people, right? And, well, just the older, you know, not just old people, that was rude. But, like, a lot of older people, a lot of older women have, like, they do have jewelry, but it's, like, costume jewelry.
100%.
You know, like, they're not walking around with these valuables the way that kids may think they are.
Not my grandma. Not my grandma. I don't think my grandma even wear group jewelry, honestly.
My mama barely wears any.
Like, nah. I don't think she, I don't think she got a lick of jewelry on her.
So.
Yeah. Antonio and Nathan settled on just leaving her in the garage. They attempted to clean up the crime scene with wipes and made sure to put the wipes, hammer, and hatchet into bags that they were going to take with them to eventually get rid of. After the bags were put into Barbara's car, the two drove back to Sheboygan. Something crazy to note is that Nathan had to put a pillow on the driver's seat of the car so he can see over the steering wheel. Let me run that back. Nathan was unable to see over the steering wheel of the woman that he and his friend just viciously murdered. So rather than being like, let's find another plan, he went back into this house and retrieved a pillow to give him some height to maximize his visibility while he was driving around in this woman's car.
While she's in the garage.
While she is on the in the garage, yes.
And they're 13.
And they are 13.
And they're now joyriding in a stolen car.
Sure. Yep.
Okay. Got it. Yes. Okay.
Like, wild.
I don't know what they're thinking. They're not thinking. That's what they're thinking.
They parked the car a few blocks away from Nathan's home near a church, of all places.
Yep.
Like, I'm not sure why God didn't come down himself and strike them both when they got out the car. Like, you got some nerve. Some nerve.
But they hit, but Nathan's mom thinks they're at a friend's house.
Yes.
Okay.
So I'm not sure what the pair did for the remainder of the day, but one source did state that when Nathan's mom came home that night, both boys were at her home.
So they never left each other. Like, Antonio didn't go back to his house and, like, hang out. They stayed together.
Yes, because I couldn't find, like, definitive, like, sources to give me the explanation, but Antonio had run away because he was in, like, essentially, like, a foster care type situation, but not really. Because he's, like, still in contact with his mom, but I couldn't find what landed him in that situation. But I did see things about he was talking to his mom and he was like, oh, well, when am I going to get to go home? And she said 2 weeks and he was like, I don't like that. So then he ran away.
Okay.
So
okay,
then okay, while okay. he ran away, he spent his time
temporary custody of somewhere.
Yeah, but I don't know what caused that.
Right.
The next day, the boys went back to Barbara's car and drove it to a bowling alley where they then walked to a pizza place to get pizza. There is footage of the pair in this pizza shop, and they don't look like kids who just committed a violent murder just a day prior. They were laughing and having a good time and clearly showing no remorse for what they had done. Mind you, they used the money that they stole from Barbara to pay for the pizza.
So you killed a woman over pizza so far. So far.
Pizza and weed.
Okay.
Yeah. Don't know when, don't know where, but at some point they did go and purchase weed.
All right. Okay.
Antonio and Nathan then went to a supermarket and bought cleaning supplies, again with the stolen money.
But they only got $100-something.
I mean, but they got pizza. I mean, I don't know how much weed they got. I mean, I don't know. But
but they bought weed. Like, they bought weed. So let's say they bought, I don't even know. Can you get weed for $20?
I don't know. Let's say hypothetically maybe, could, but so that's yeah. $20.
And they're 13, so they're probably getting crappy weed anyways. So they're...
And then they got a whole pie, because the video showed a whole pie of pizza. So maybe what's
$15.
That, like, $15, $20, okay, depending so on what kind.
Okay, so you probably got about $100. But then they played in the arcade.
I don't know if they played in the arcade.
Didn't they go to
an
arcade?
I mean, it says they went to a bowling alley, but it said they parked there and then walked to the pizza place. So I don't know if they actually went into the bowling alley. Gotcha.
Okay. So, mm-hmm. so far we have evidence that they bought weed and they bought a pizza. So they're at $40-$50.
And then they went and bought cleaning supplies, which, like, depending on what you got, like, yeah. I don't think it would give the whole total of $150. I don't think so.
But at 13, I thought 150 was a lot of money.
Oh, 100%.
So
I'm making it rain with 150 if I'm 13.
Yeah, exactly.
100%. So they go back to the car and wipe it down to try and erase all of the evidence of them being there. And then they leave the car keys in the front seat of the car with the jewelry in view. So they hope that someone would see all of this, steal the car, and then the murder would be pinned on whoever stole the car and not them.
Okay.
Mind you, this is a very elaborate plan.
It really is.
For 13-year-olds.
And it's 2 days worth of planning.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. I mean, that was a good plan.
I just can't comprehend a 13-year-old being like, all right, let's plan this out. We're going to do this.
And let's make it look like a robbery because somebody's going to see this jewelry and somebody's going to take this car.
Mm-hmm. Like, that is just really intricate.
Yes.
And I'm just, I don't think I've ever met.
A lot of details went into that.
Yeah. I've never met a 13-year-old with a brain like that.
That even like was like, we need to clean this.
Yeah, like,
because you know most 13-year-olds forget about all DNA and fingerprints.
Oh, 100%. So they were like meticulous with this.
Yeah, which is even scarier if you mm-hmm. think about it.
Oh, absolutely. Barbara's body wouldn't be found for 2 days, and unfortunately, it was discovered by her own daughter,
Antonio's mom.
No, Judy.
So. Judy is Antonio's grandmother.
Judy.
Because Barbara is Antonio's great-grandmother.
Okay, so Barbara's daughter is Judy.
Mm-hmm.
So.
And Barbara
Antonio's Antonio's grandmother. No.
Is Judy.
No. Antonio's mom's grandmother is Barbara.
Yes.
So, yeah, okay.
So Judy is Antonio's grandmother.
Right?
And Barbara is his great-grandmother.
I'm not good at games like this when they're like, there are three sisters and you know, I'm not good at things like this. It's confusing my brain.
Yeah, that's right. Yes, that's right. So Judy is Antonio's grandmother.
Okay.
Barb was his great-grandmother.
Okay.
Judy's daughter is Antonio's mother.
Judy's daughter is Antonio's mother?
Uh-huh.
I don't know if that's true. I don't know. I don't.
I don't know if that's true.
I don't know. I didn't see any connection like that. Oh, Brooke, you're hurting my head.
But Judy would have some relation to Antonio because Barb has some relation to Antonio.
100%. I just don't know what the relation is.
Okay.
Because Antonio's mom, Barbara, is Antonio's mom's grandma. Because she called her grandma yes. Barb. All right. So then Barbara had a daughter. Her name uh-huh. is Judy.
Uh-huh.
So Judy's relationship to Antonio.
Is grandmother.
Is it?
Yes. Your mom's mom is your great grandmother.
Yes.
Okay.
But then like, okay. Because I'm trying to think like if in my family. Okay. So if my mom's mom. Wait.
Yes.
Yeah, my mom's mom is my great-grandmother.
Uh-huh.
But if my grandmother had a daughter, that would make me her...
Wait, your grandmother had a daughter that's not your mom?
Oh, yeah, because my grandma... Okay. You're right. I'm telling you, I'm the worst at these riddles. Like, that. Do that. I'm the worst. I'm the absolute worst. My brain can't compute. So let... Okay, you, sure.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Anywho, It was so her body was discovered by Judy Offit.
Her daughter.
Her daughter, yes. Mm-hmm. So Judy was worried because she hadn't seen her mom. Because according to a YouTube video that I watched, Barbara usually stopped by Judy's house every morning. The first day, which was the day after she was murdered, she just shook it off. But by day two, she was very concerned. So she had tried calling her many times, but received no answer from her mom. So Judy decided to head over to Barbara's house and check on her, since they only lived a few miles away from one another. Upon arrival, she opened the garage to use the garage door to go inside the home and noticed that her car wasn't in the driveway. She first figured that Barbara was out, but then upon further inspection, she unfortunately discovered that that was not the case.
She found the body.
She did. And I'm going to play the 911 call for you all and Brooke now. So if if you go, I mean, I see you already in this You Just Talk Crime script. If you scroll down, there is a link.
Okay. Good at that.
And it even has notes there of when to start and when to end.
Okay.
You know,
you're very organized.
I set you up for success.
You did.
And I'm going to stop recording so you could listen in, and then we'll talk about it.
Please send an ambulance and the police. My mother is laying in the garage, and there's a lot of blood, and there's a blanket over her head. There's a lot of blood.
How did the blanket get over her
head? I have no idea.
And how old is your mother?
She is 78.
And is she breathing?
I don't know. I can't look. The blanket is over her head, and I can't look.
Okay. Who's here with you?
Oh, God, the neighbor.
Okay. Can the neighbor check if she's breathing? Oh, you don't have to go and look. You don't have to go. Your neighbor can just go and check if she's breathing.
Okay. They would like you to check.
Are you sending somebody?
I'm working on it. I need to know if she's breathing.
First of all, I have an issue with I'm working on it. I need to know if she's breathing. So if she was breathing, you're not going to send nobody?
That's exactly what I went into. And I was going to, like, I know that 911 operators have a very difficult job. And it's a job that I would never be able
yes,
to do.
Yes, they do.
Like, I watch the show 911, and the way that they have to stay calm and talk to these people through situations, especially the ones knowing that they're not going to come out alive. Mm-hmm. Like, I commend them. Again, I could never do what they do. But I'm working on it.
Yeah. Didn't we hear another 911 call recently that was like, just sounded so annoyed?
Ooh. I know what you're talking about. And it's not recent. This was a while ago.
But I don't know. The 911 operator just sounded like, super annoyed. And like, yeah, I don't care. If I call 911, whether, you know, there's this girl I went to middle school with or whatever. Her name is Dallas. And she climbed up on her refrigerator at her house and she called 911.
Oh, why did she?
Because I don't know. She couldn't get down. But they sent somebody. It doesn't matter. If I call 911, you send someone.
Yeah. And regardless if she's breathing or not, someone needs to come there because someone is in need of assistance.
She's 78. She's lying on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
Breathing or not breathing, she has a towel over her head that was probably involuntary, clearly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't like that.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all either.
Mm-mm.
So the police began investigating Barbara's death as a murder. They began interviewing her family and looking at the surveillance footage around the area that Barbara lived, which is how they initially found Antonio and Nathan to begin with.
Oh, but they didn't think about that now, did they?
They sure did not. They sure did not. Nathan was interviewed first with his mother present, and he was a mess, like hysterically crying, like couldn't even get a word out. He refused to disclose any information out loud with his mother being there, so he asked for a piece of paper so he could write it down. When he handed the note to the officer, it stated the following: he killed his grandma, and I was with him. Antonio was brought in for questioning after that and initially acted as if he had no idea what had happened to his great-grandmother. But when the police pressed on with the information they received from Nathan, he soon confessed his part in the murder.
Yeah, because he's 13.
Yeah. And I saw clips of his, like, his interview with police. And you know how they start off asking you the regular question, like, what's your name? Where do you live? Mm-hmm. You know, to kind of gauge how you are answering questions like that. But the minute they started asking questions about his grandma, he was like itching his face, covering his eyes, itching his legs, you know, just showing that he was really uncomfortable with the questions that he was being asked.
As he should be.
Mm-hmm. According to one source, bloody clothes and shoes were found in Antonio's locker. One, why would you take that stuff to school?
Maybe, I don't even know. I really don't even know. And I thought, okay, y'all planned this whole thing. You were very meticulous about a lot of things, mm-hmm, and now you weren't so meticulous about big things, like your clothes.
Like in your school locker?
Yes. I mean, you don't think they can go get that?
Wild. They also found Barbara's gold watch and bloody clothes at Nathan's home. Investigators also were able to locate Barbara's purse in a storm drain near Nathan's home.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Both Antonio and Nathan were charged as adults for first-degree murder of Barbara.
I bet Nathan's like, damn, I should have never been friends with you.
Yeah, and just wait, because you're going to find out some information about him that's like kind of sad, but like you did what you did. You know what I mean?
You did, yeah. Mm-hmm.
In January of 2013, they both pleaded not guilty, but Antonio pleaded not guilty due to mental illness.
Mm.
Apparently, he was riding a bike when he was 10 and he was hit by a car.
Oh, wow.
And it caused cognitive issues that affected his behavior.
And this is documented.
Yes, this is documented. And he wanted to do, I believe it was MMA fighting, and he wanted to do football, but he was unable to do these things due to his condition.
Huh.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
During the trial, Antonio testified against Nathan.
What?
He stated that they both plotted to kill Barbara the day before her murder and went there armed with weapons to do so. A direct quote states, "We got in and I looked at Nate and nodded and shook my head as in yes or no. He nodded and I took the first swing." He went on to say that he only hit Barbara 3 or 4 times with the hatchet, but Nathan hit her multiple times with both the hatchet and the hammer. He went on to explain that they tried to put Barbara in the car and then tried to take her to the basement, but they just didn't have the strength to do so, which is why they left her in the garage. He then explained how they took the car, got things to clean it, and just left it because they essentially wanted no parts. Like they didn't want to be attached to the car.
So Antonio, the great-grandson of the woman who is dead, is saying that it was mainly Nathan.
Yeah, he's saying, like, I just hit her a couple times. Like, I just hit her a couple
times. Mm-hmm.
The defense came in and mentioned the fact that he initially lied to the police during their interrogation and how he changed his story when they stated that they had tons of evidence proving that he was lying. Nathan testified, stating that Antonio initiated the attack and even asked for help at one point. A direct quote from Nathan states the following. "We went into the living room. Antonio picked up the hatchet and struck her with the blade side of the hatchet. He called me over because it got stuck and we both had to pull it out."
Ugh.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh.
Nathan's mom, Bobby, took the stand too and described her son as a follower. She went on to state that he always tried to fit in with his peer. His peers, sorry. This appears as valid information because Nathan did admit on the stand that he did hit Barbara with the hammer, but only did it twice because he feared that Antonio would retaliate against him if he didn't.
So just because, I mean, you did what you did, but you did it because you're a follower and not a leader, you can still say no. You still know right from wrong.
But in my mind, like, I mean, the story that I got is that they plotted this the day before and then they went there with these things. So at any given point,
you could have been like, nah, this ain't for me, dude.
Especially if your mom was dropping you off in the neighborhood where his grandmother lived, you know?
Right. Exactly.
He also stated that as Antonio hit Barbara with the hatchet, that his face showed no emotion.
Mm.
Antonio ended up taking a plea deal in which he agreed to plead no contest to first degree murder, which means like, okay, I get that you're, it's essentially like, I accept that you're charging me with murder, but I'm not going to say I did it.
Yes. Okay. And then that's similar to an Alford plea.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I've heard that before.
Yep. And that's where you will admit that you did it, but you don't have to give any details whatsoever about the case.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
If for the rest of your life, you don't ever have to disclose what happened. You don't have to give up any information, nothing.
Yeah. But I mean, he gave us all that information
he
already,
did, yes.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
On August 12th, 2013, Antonio was sentenced to life in prison for the murder of his great grandmother. Judge Timothy Van Ackeren made his parole eligibility date for November 24th, 2048, which is Antonio's 50th birthday.
Do you think that the judges do all these things by coincidence? Because you always hear that. Like, you always hear, like, oh, they're up for parole on the 12th anniversary of the murder, or they were sentenced on the 1 year anniversary of the murder. Like, it's just so coincidental in so many cases.
I think so. I think it's intentional.
Okay.
I think it's definitely intentional. I mean, on your 50th birthday, I mean, you committed this crime when you were 13 years old. So he's given you enough time to really, you know.
But you're going to be in there to an old man.
Oh, 100%. And that's eligibility for parole. Like, you're not guaranteed to be granted.
Homeboy doesn't even know that the submarine's missing right now.
He sure don't. I mean, he might. I think they got news channels in jail.
Oh.
And I think that's the only channel they get. Even though sometimes I watch TV shows and they're watching Judge Judy in jail. So I don't really know. I don't really plan on finding out because I don't plan on going to jail.
Me neither. Mm-hmm. Me neither. Cannot let you guys know. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Can't help either. Mm-mm. So Judge Ackeren stated the following after delivering his sentence. In my 24 years on the bench, I have not seen anything of this nature, not even close. It gives me great sadness to see someone of your age going into the system. I'm sorry to see this have to happen.
Well, I mean, it's like you're sorry. I don't know. That's justice right there. I mean, yeah, he's still 13, but it was deliberate. It was planned overnight for a whole day. It was premeditated.
Yeah, it clearly was. I mean, you can't tell me that you went to this woman's house with a hatchet and a hammer because you were going to help her build something.
Yes, I really do. I mean, what I would be interested in and not that it would excuse him, but I really would be interested in seeing, like, the scans from his little accident, because it probably was. I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
But, you know, I would love to actually see the scans and to see where it did interfere with his cognitive development.
And I would also, because when I tell you, I searched high and low on the internet to find information about them in schools, because I am so curious. Mm-hmm. To know about how they were in school. I just need to know, because I imagine that, you know, age 10, you've been in school for a while before that to see how he acted prior to the accident versus after the accident, not Absolutely. Only in his home life, but in school life would, you know, be a great eye opener for us. And then we would possibly be able to see, like, okay, what was your school doing, you know, to help.
But even with accidents, kids are eligible for 504s and IEPs if a child gets in a car accident and, you know, becomes deaf, right, due to the accident example, they're eligible for an IEP at that point in time. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get accommodations to things that you were not born with. Like, if you go blind, if baseball hits you, you go blind. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Things can happen in life where then you become eligible. So it would be very interesting to know if he was on a 504 or an IEP at that point versus when he was 10.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I said, I searched everywhere. I typed in every combination of his name and school and his name and childhood. And I couldn't really find any information about his childhood other than the fact that he did this and he, you know, was somehow put into the system and all of this stuff. So I just wish I would have had more information so, you know, we could understand this a little better. Because even with everything that's been said, what would possess you to rob your great-grandmother, not only rob her, but murder her when she, like, literally helped raise you and had, like, a relationship with you?
This is someone who to see you at her door.
Yeah, like...
Yeah.
And then I do remember I read somewhere, I can't remember where, one of my sources, I think I quoted below, said it, but Antonio said something along the lines is his great grandmother knew that he had run away. And so she was going to tell the mom that he had run away. So, but here's the thing, you went there with the intentions to kill her.
Yeah, you got a ride to this woman's house.
So it's not like you got there and you were like, ah, she's going to tell my mom we got to kill her. Like, you went there with the intention.
With tools.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. On June 20th, 2013, Nathan Papp was found guilty for the first-degree murder of Barbara Olson. On August 13th, 2013, he was also sentenced to life in prison, with his parole eligibility date set for December 2nd, 2043, which was his 45th birthday. Before he was sentenced, Nathan stated the following: I just wanted to say I'm truly sorry for everything that happened. I truly regret every single thing that happened that day.
So he has remorse.
Yeah. And I, you know, I saw footage of, you know, Antonio crying, and he said a statement. He started to say one and couldn't finish it, so his lawyer had to finish it for him.
Was Antonio's mom present in any of this? During the trial and stuff, I'm curious.
I believe so.
Okay.
I believe so. Like, family on both sides was there, and they were like, you know, this is just really unfortunate. And they wanted, I can't remember who it was. I believe Antonio's grandmother was like, and was that Judy?
Maybe yes, it was Judy.
Judy, his grandmother, I'm pretty sure. I could be wrong. Apologies if I'm wrong. But stated that, you know, Barbara would want him to earn like a lenient sentence to get the opportunity to reform and not spend the rest of his life in prison. So even after all of this, she's still like, you know, on his side, like, you know, this was a horrible thing, but my mom wouldn't have wanted this for him, you know?
Yeah. Well, because she was such a loving person.
Yeah.
So Antonio's been in there for 11 years at this point.
Yeah, because he got sentenced on the
2013. Okay.
Yeah.
So 10 years. Yeah. So he's 23.
Dang, that's so wild. I keep forgetting, like, you're so...
Didn't even get to have a beer on your 21st. You didn't get to learn to drive. I mean, at this
point, they were... Well,
Well, they did drive. Could drive. Yeah.
And if you're already smoking weed...
That's true.
You might be dabbling in the alcohols as well. I didn't see anything in my research about it, but you know.
No, you're right.
Mm-hmm. Lori Kuna, Nathan's great aunt, spoke exclusively with Fox 6 News and stated that Nathan had the social development of a 10-year-old and could easily be persuaded by a smarter boy like Antonio. A direct quote from Lori stated the following: he actually thought he was going to get to come home after he told the truth. He didn't want this to happen. He didn't plan to go there to kill Barbara Olson. He didn't plan this. I don't know what to say anymore. There's just so much sorrow for everybody involved. So much sorrow. His family stated that they were planning to appeal not only his sentence, but also the fact that he was tried in the adult court. But I was unable to locate any updates regarding that appeal. However, I was able to find that Antonio attempted to appeal his sentencing in June of 2016, but the court upheld his life sentence.
So they were wanting him to be tried into family court because of his age, which would mean he would have gotten out at 21.
Yeah.
Okay. But they were tried as adults.
They were.
Yeah.
Which is why they will be spending, you know, upwards to the rest of their life in prison. And that's the case of Antonio and Nathan.
That was really disturbing.
Sure was. And next week we got another one, so...
Oh, yeah. Next week is pretty rough, guys.
And granted, all of our cases are, you know, tragic, but I feel like we haven't had one, like... this intense in a minute.
Yeah.
In a while. So.
Oof. Well, on a lighter note, I am going to leave you guys with this before, you know, we dismiss. I know that we have brought it up in the past episodes, but during one of our breaks, I obviously got on Facebook and just did my like minute scrolling when we paused recording. And I had to show Ashley this, but what? It is the new flyer for...
Oh my gosh, girl. We should have talked about this.
Zoe 102.
Here's the thing. I sent this to Lugo the other day. And did you see the trailer?
No.
Here's the thing. I don't like to talk bad about people because you never know what people are going through. But she does not look okay.
She doesn't.
You need to watch the trailer. She just don't. And I'm not bashing Jamie Lee Spears. You know, granted, she did write that book. And I did not appreciate her for that. But I did see that Britney Spears, or who is running Britney Spears's Instagram account, did say that she did have a reunion with her sister, and it was so great to see her on the set of Zoe 102. And that's great, but like,
I'll definitely have to watch the trailer on that. Yeah. But I was going to leave you guys with a lighter note, but Ashley doesn't seem that it's much lighter. So,
you know, I'm going to still watch it. I'm not going to lie. I'm still going
to view
it.
I've got to.
That was my show. Okay.
And if that's not the theme song, I'm turning it off.
And it better be that exact. Like, don't have her come and sing it again, because the way it was just fine.
It was.
So just leave it alone.
It was.
Just leave it alone.
Yep.
But yeah, so that was the case. RIP to Barb.
Our podcast grandmother.
Our podcast granny. We love her.
Mm-hmm. RIP to Jessie Pearl.
Jessie Pearl. We hope, you know, Barb is up there knitting and quilted and still watching the Green Bay Packers. And we hope that Jessie Pearl is up there with her porcelain dolls just living life, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And to Antonio, shame on you.
Yep.
Shame on you.
Your great-grandmother did not deserve that whatsoever.
Nobody
deserves it, but...
And Nathan, here's the thing. I'm not condoning what he did by any means. But knowing that he did have the social development of a 10-year-old and that he could be easily persuaded, I do feel, you know, I do feel a little sorry for him that he even got into cahoots with Antonio, because I feel like if they never became friends, that Nathan would have never gone on this path. Again, not condoning, not excusing him for what he did by any means, but I do feel bad, because, you know, as a teacher, we see a lot of kids,
but as a 13-year-old, look how easily they are influenced. Yeah, you know?
And being a third grade, well, now, oh, I don't even know if I told y'all, I don't think I talked about on the podcast yet, that your girl is going to second grade.
She is.
And she's going to second grade math. And when I posted that, you know how I knew y'all were real listeners? When so many people were like, math? And I was like,
math?
Y'all hear me talk stuff about math on this podcast all the time. And look how it came full circle, because now your girl's going to be teaching mathematics and social studies.
Yes, she is.
But yeah, I just, as a teacher, you know, you see those kids who are easily influenced by their peers, and, you know, you try and save them, and you try to, you know, do your best to steer them with the right kids, but you know, they go to who they want to go to. You can't.
And they become who they want to become. And you can, the best you can do is give them the tools and the resources and the love and the patience and hope for the best.
Because I've seen a couple kids this year who, like, literally started the year, you know, good. And then towards the end, I'm like, ah, you really need to, like, it came to me snitching to their parents. Like, I have one girl who I know for a fact her mom did not want her hanging out with one student. And I was like, how would your mom feel? I was like, you know what? I'm gonna just hit her up and let her know that you hanging out with so-and-so, because you know you're not supposed to be doing this. But I'm gonna let your mom know that you're doing it anyway, because not on my watch.
Nope.
Not on my watch.
Because you are what you hang out with. I don't care. My mom tried to tell me that so many years and so, for so long. I didn't want to believe it.
Yeah.
But you are what you hang out with.
Yeah. Birds of a feather. They flock together. And you don't want to be associated with that flock. You don't.
Nope.
And I'm sorry that Nathan had to get into that flock, because he didn't deserve to have to be put up in that situation. But, you know, he did what he did. You know, he owned it. You know, I feel good that he owned it and owned his, you know, and had remorse for it. So I do appreciate him for that. And, you know, we'll see, you know, in what, 2043, you know, what goes on.
You know, but I mean, he can look at the positive or he can remain negative, but even at 43, you still have a life to live.
Yeah, you do.
So I'm hoping that you come out better than you went in.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So.
So that's that.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all we got. Let's see. This episode comes out Monday. The next time we'll see you is next Monday?
Wait, let's see. Look at the calendars. This one comes out on the 3rd. Nope, this comes out on the 26th. Mm-hmm. And yeah, we'll see you guys on the 3rd.
All right, we'll see you right before the 4th of July.
Yeah.
All right, y'all. Well, as always, the bell don't dismiss you.
Oh, we do.
So we'll see you next Monday.
Bye.
Bye.